and welcome to the YYC Soccer Podcast. My name is Jason Komet and my co-host is Scott Strasser. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Jason. Good morning. We're recording this on a Sunday morning, which is a bit different for us, but it's a nice day outside. I'm by the window here and I've got my morning cup of tea with me and I'm excited to do another podcast.
Yeah, it's a little bit off our usual schedule here, but you know, with summer being what it is and schedules being what they are, there was a lot of news to talk about after the match yesterday. So I thought we might as well just get one in now while we knew the schedule permitted.
Yeah. No, it's a good way to start the day. I don't mind at all.
If you are a new listener to the YYC Soccer Podcast, what is it all about, Scott? What do we talk about?
So the YYC Soccer Podcast focuses on soccer in Calgary at the amateur, collegiate, and professional levels. We talk about the teams and the players from Calgary's soccer community, from the grassroots and amateur leagues up to the university and professional levels.
And this episode, we're going to talk about quite a few things. It's a bit of a Cavs-centric episode, but there was a lot going on. We'll talk about Willie Akiyau signing with the Cavs. We'll talk about the match yesterday against HFX Wanderers. There was a change in goalkeeping coach. And then going across the pond, Calgarian, Scott Kennedy, signed with a new club in Europe. And we'll also talk a bit about League One Alberta, perhaps, and also about next week's match versus Vancouver. But let's start off with talking about what we just missed out on prior to a publication of our last podcast was the signing of Willie Akiyau.
Yeah, so this is a signing that I think makes a lot of sense in terms of Willie Akiyau having a lot of ties to Calgary. He grew up here, played for Sate, as well as won the PDL title with Foothills in 2018. He was also on the, it wasn't PDL in 2019, it was USL2, but he was on the Foothills team in 2019 and was arguably their best player that season. I was covering Foothills a bit that year and recall that Willie Tofa-Fakunle and a 16-year-old Arabin Pepple combined for probably close to 90% of Foothills' goals. But watching that season, I think Akiyau was the player that stood out the most. And I kind of pegged him as the guy that was probably going to be moving up to the CPL based on his performances. And he did eventually make his way to the CPL after his college career down in Texas, but it was with Valor that he ended up joining. So yeah, he did quite well for Valor, and then he went over to Ross County in the Scottish Premier League in 2022. He played 14 games for them there. Then he joined Raith Rovers in the second half of the season, scoring 3 goals in 15 games. But he's shown that he's a capable CPL striker. I think he scored 10 goals for Valor in 44 appearances and got a similar amount of assists. So he knows the league probably inside out. He's also an international. He's played for South Sudan, I think a couple of times in front of some big crowds too. So I think he's going to be a good addition to Cavalry's roster.
Yeah, I think so too. He should be pretty plug and play in the sense that he's familiar with the coaches, some of the players, the city, the league. So you'd like to think that once he is properly game fit and everything like that, he should be good to go. And he's definitely going to add some offensive punch onto a team that already has a few good weapons.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Meyer Bevan, Joe Mason, Ethan Beckford. Now you've got Willie Akiyau. So there's a lot of options up front, and Cavalry can kind of plug in whichever player they feel is going to do the best job, depending on the situation, on the formation, their strategy, the opponent. But I also think Willie Akiyau has a really great attitude. He's a really cheerful guy, and he's very active on social media and YouTube. So I can see fans really taking a liking to him just for that reason alone. But as you mentioned, I mean, he's fast, he's tall. And I think based on his experience in Scotland, you have to assume that he's coming back to Canada with even more pedigree. I think he's going to be an even better player than he was before he went overseas.
Yeah, I think the year over there probably helped his development further. And he was looking pretty good before he left when he was with Valor. So I would agree. He should step in really nicely. And he should be an important offensive force in this league this year.
Yeah. I know, like, he went viral for the wrong reasons when he had that that miss on the goal line. It was right before he was announced that he was moving to Valor, and that miss was quite confusing if you watch it, and it was on, I think, TSN or Sportsnet, like all the bloopers highlight reels. But before that, he was having a great season for Valor, and the fact that he's, you know, gained all this experience in a very tough physical Scottish Premier League, the fact that he knows Tommy Wealdon Jr. from previous affiliations, and now he's played for South Sudan. Like, he's just going to be, I think he could be a player that gets a lot of playing time for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, and maybe we'll see him, possibly even as soon as this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, and I know you asked Tommy Wealdon Jr. that in the press conference, and he more or less confirmed that as long as his fitness is up to scruff by then, he should be involved. Probably starting from the bench, you'd imagine, but Tommy said that he trained on Friday and was also involved in the pregame preparations on Saturday. So he's already been around the team a little bit already.
Okay, speaking of the match from this week, yesterday on Saturday afternoon, the Cavs did pull out a 1-0 victory over HFX Wanderers. There was the one and only goal. It was an own goal right at the 90-minute mark. And why don't you take it away, Scott? You do that.
Right. Yeah, so Ben Fisk, just as the clock ticked past the 90, whipped in a cross that ended up ricocheting in off the shoulder of a Halifax defender, Daniel Nimick. So it was kind of funny because I was taking photos by that net and I was thinking of leaving my post around the 85th minute mark just so I could, you know, get a head start on my match recap before the press conference got underway. And I was ready to write about how Cavalry had just recorded their first goalless draw since August 2021. But I just had a feeling that there was a goal in this game. Cavalry was just pumping cross after cross into Halifax's box. In total, they registered 29 crosses. And I think there was a sense around the stadium that Cavalry was going to score a goal. So I'm kind of glad that I listened to my intuition and stayed, because just as the 90th minute mark, Ben Fisk played in that ball, and they got a lucky bounce in the end. But overall, I think it was, like, I think we talked in our last episode, I knew this was going to be a tough game for Cavalry, and I figured it would be either a draw or a one goal game either way. So in terms of the result, I think it was fair. Based on the performance, I think it was fair, but I also thought that Halifax looked pretty good at certain moments.
I would agree. They looked good, but I think the whole schedule that they've had with travel and their matches in short succession, they did look like they were kind of done out there by the end. And they were dragging, I thought, a bit. And I think you noted that as well.
I was thinking about the adversity that they faced, because this was Halifax's second trip out west in 8 days. And there was a home match against Pacific sandwiched between those two trips. They went to, I believe it was Vancouver on July, I want to say 7th or 8th. And then they had a game midweek against Pacific, who's still top of the table at home. And then they had to fly back to Western Canada to face Cavalry. And, you know, it was hot yesterday. It was still pretty smoky. We're a much higher altitude than Halifax. And I think you could see at certain moments, it was tough for the Halifax players, and they were pretty fatigued. And yeah, so overall, I thought they did pretty well, and they honestly could have come away with something. They hit that post in the first half. A few minutes after that, they forced a point blank save from Marco Carducci. So they could have gone into the half up 1-0, and who knows what could have happened if that had been the case.
Yeah, I think that from their standpoint, yes, they almost got a point out of it, but I think that, I think at the end of the day, I think Calgary deserved the win and got the 3 points. And there were a couple other things I wanted to note about the game. Ali Moussi didn't dress. His ankle is acting up a bit. So it didn't sound like it was anything terribly significant, but he didn't dress. And Mail Henry, I believe I have the pronunciation on that right, he subbed in the last, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes there, and first appearance with the Cavs. The other thing I was going to mention, and I feel bad for him, Ethan Beckford, still waiting for his first goal, and he was oh so close on an own goal.
Yeah, I thought he was the player that scored, and I was excited about that because it would be a great narrative for the article that I was going to write. Like, what a perfect time to score your first goal. But no, it was an own goal in the end. Beckford was probably the cavalry player that was closest to getting on the end of Fisk's cross. No, that's a few times now that Beckford has come close. I remember he hit the post on a late free kick several games ago. So he's still waiting, and it's a long time to go as a striker without getting your first goal. Obviously, this is Ethan Beckford's debut pro season, and he really is more of a substitute than a starting striker. But at some point, you really hope that he's going to get his first goal and break this scoring back.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't have any specific connection to him per se, but I just feel like he's come so close a bunch of times that I feel his frustration already a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
Let's stick with the Cavs again and talk about their new goalkeeping coach. They announced this previous week that Jordan Santiago, who had been the goalkeeping coach since day one, has moved on, and Jake Davis is the new goalkeeper coach. I don't know tons about him, Scott. I know that he is American, and some of his recent credentials include being with the Houston Dynamo Academy, Hartford Athletic, and also, I believe, the University of Virginia. So he's made his way around a good chunk of the states, like geographically. He hasn't been just in one location. He's been all over the states in various different opportunities, and now he's coming north of the border.
I remember seeing the posting that Cavalry was hiring a goalkeeping coach quite a while ago. I think someone posted it to the Cavalry subreddit. So I was curious about that because I figured it meant that Jordan Santiago was moving on. And I was wondering what the reason for that was, if maybe he was just ready for a new challenge somewhere else. But my reaction to the signing is really just that it's interesting that Cavalry appeared to cast their net pretty wide in terms of finding their new goalkeeping coach. Jake Davis doesn't appear to have any like prior connections to Calgary or the CPL from what I could tell. So it was neat to see that the league and the team was able to attract somebody down in the States to consider applying for it. And I agree. I also don't know much about him other than what Cavalry had in their press release about him. But interesting signing. And I'm curious to see if it'll have any kind of impact.
Yeah, I noticed in the press release there was a quote from Davis, and he said something about he feels he has similar ambitions to what the club has. So, yeah, I guess we'll see what happens. But I was surprised too that there seems to be no connections. And next thing to talk about, and we'll go off the Cavs for a couple minutes here, is Scott Kennedy, who we were talking about last episode as he was playing for the men's national team. He has returned to the Austrian Bundesliga. He will be with Wolfsburger. This previous season, he was in Germany with, and I should really get you to do this, Scott, Jan Riesenberg, I believe. They were relegated down to 3 Liga, and his contract was up. So we knew he was going to be moving on somewhere. We just didn't know where, but I guess now we know.
Yeah, and he's played in Austria before with Klagenfurt, who were in the second division at the time he was there, but are now in the top flight. And yeah, last year was a tough one for Kennedy, and it's Jan Regensburg. Yeah, he had that injury right before the World Cup, which didn't help his season. And Regensburg they were struggling throughout the campaign. I've been to Regensburg. It's a fairly small city, so a pretty big jump for them to be playing in the second division, and maybe the third division is probably more where they belong. But now Kennedy's returning to Austria, and he's familiar with the country. I watch a lot of like German soccer, but I must confess I don't watch any Austrian soccer. But I do follow a podcast on Twitter called The Other Bundesliga, which is all about the Austrian Bundesliga. And I have heard of Wolfsburg because of that. And I guess you could call them the other Wolfsburg because they're not the one owned by Volkswagen in the German Bundesliga. But I was looking at that club, and it looks like they finished 9th in the Austrian Bundesliga last season, which isn't mid-table because the Austrian league is only a 12-team division. And they had a 6-3-13 regular season record. So pretty tough time for Wolfsberger. And depending on their rebuild this season, it could be a year that really tests Scott Kennedy's defensive capabilities if they're in another relegation dogfight like they appear to be this past year.
Yeah, but it's nice to see that he did find a place to play. And it sounds like, you know, a reasonable move for him, you know, based on a little bit of information that we know.
Yeah. I remember there were some Whitecaps fans on Twitter who were kind of speculating that he'd be a good fit for Vancouver. And I think so too, but I imagine, you know, if you could keep playing in Europe, I think a lot of players want to keep playing.
Yeah, and I think the Austrian league is, it's pretty decent. Like, it's certainly not going to be one of the top four leagues or anything. I think when I check the coefficients, it's 10th or something like that. So it's reasonable quality. I think we don't tend to hear a lot about it in Canada, but I think the quality is there. And I think, I think it's probably a decent enough option for him.
Yeah. And I think the Austrian league has been dominated by Red Bull Salzburg, very similar to how Bayern Munich has dominated Germany for the last, well, always, but Salzburg is a club with deep pockets, and they're very, you know, they have that relationship with Red Bull and Red Bull Leipzig, and they tend to just gobble up all the best players in the league, and it'll be a great opportunity to just play against them for Scott Kennedy. No, it's probably a good move, and I'm sure it's a move that there's a lot of consideration put into what would be best for him.
So let's talk a little bit of League One Alberta. They are nearing the end of their season. There was a match. The Blizzard were supposed to be playing on Friday, but it got postponed due to smoke. And I believe the match that was being held in Edmonton was also postponed for the same reason. They're going to make those up here. And next weekend is the last set of matches before the playoffs start. Let's talk about the men's division first. And right now, Foothills has clinched first place. So they've got that all wrapped up. And St. Albert has 11 points, and they're pretty close to clinching, because we're presuming at this point that the final is as simple as 2v1. And BTB has 6 points, but they would need a lot of help to go from third to second right now. So it looks like if that playoff format holds in place, it's going to be Foothills versus St. Albert.
Which has been they've been the top two teams throughout, haven't they?
Yeah, I think they have been. So okay. It's been pretty clear cut this year that those two teams have really been at the top, and BTB kind of in the middle, and then Scottish and the Cavs U21s are bringing up the rear.
And then on the women's side, the top three teams are all still very close with a couple of games left each.
Yeah, it seems pretty likely that St. Albert will get one of those two spots. And it looks like the two Calgary teams are probably somewhat likely to take one of those. Okay, you want to talk a little bit about the upcoming match? I guess we're far away from next weekend, but at least when we're recording this. But the Cavs play Vancouver next weekend. Any thoughts, Scott, really early on?
And they had a tough time last time out when they traveled to Vancouver. It was Vancouver FC's very first home game, and it was a 1-1 draw, I believe. It was a draw for Cavalry. And yeah. I think since then, they've built up some separation between themselves and Vancouver, and they've been playing a lot better overall. So I think that Cavalry can snatch 3 points from this game. But as we've talked about, there's not really a gimme anymore in the CPL. And even though they're at the bottom of the league table, Vancouver is very capable of getting points against probably any other team in the league. Although I did see, and I didn't look into this at all, but I saw that Gael Sandoval, who's, I thought, one of their stronger players, is not with the club anymore.
Yeah, he's moved on. I can't claim to know too much about what's been happening, but they've been bringing in a bunch of players and they've been making a bunch of changes. I think from my perspective, and I haven't watched very much of their action this year, but they seem to be very much a work in progress. They've tried things, had some matches where they've played well, some matches where they've played poorly. And I think they're at a point right now that the window's opened up again, that they're trying to address things that worked and didn't work. And so, yeah, like I said, I kind of really look at them as a work in progress. And from that standpoint, though, they're a team that have talent on them, and they're at a point right now where they could put in a really good 90 minutes or not, potentially, I guess. It's just very much, I think, in flux there, as you would expect with a first year team and a coach who, you know, has a lot of experience, but is still trying to figure out the intricacies of how this league works.
Yeah. I know they signed a Brazilian named Renan Garcia last week, who is 37, which is an interesting addition to the CPL. But he's played for the likes of Atletico Mineiro, Vitória Guimarães, and then CFR Cluj and Sampdoria. He's played for Al Nassr, and he's coming from the Brazilian lower leagues. But I mean, you'd think that that's going to be like that veteran experience is going to help out Vancouver. It might also be a chance to play against Mickey Kantov.
Yeah,
I think is an interesting little side note. Yeah, so Vancouver is definitely a team in flux, but they are going to be at home. So I always find it hard to predict cavalry games these days. But yeah, I do have a feeling that they're just going to keep rolling. They're going to keep playing well.
Well, I think that's pretty much everything we want to hit right now. There was a bunch of things to talk about since the last time we recorded, which was just a couple days back, really. But yeah, anything else you want to add in, Scott?
No, I don't think so. I imagine we'll be recording again next week. We'll probably get back to our regular schedule of recording on Thursdays and releasing episodes on Friday. But there's a lot of soccer going on, as is always the case in July. I'm sure we'll be transitioning even to some other leagues and teams and levels in the near future, with college soccer starting up in August.
Yeah, before you know it, we're going to be seeing those UC and SAIT and Mount Royals. So, all right. Well, thank you for listening to the YYC Soccer Podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast by using all the usual podcasting platforms. Head over to yycsoccer.com for more info about how to subscribe or to leave a question or comment. You can also follow us on Twitter at YYCsoccer403. Thanks for listening.